And hello, viewers and listeners to the podcast. If you're not watching us tonight, we've got a.
Well, you might understand.
Yeah, I know. The controller said go, but anyway. Okay, hello, listeners to the podcast. If you're not viewing us tonight, hello, viewers. If you are viewing us tonight, feel free to jump in the comments and leave some comments. But anyway, we've got a full house tonight. We've got Hayden from the Entertain House. If I'm Lulu, I'll get away with anything. Okay, yeah, fair enough. How are we going, Hayden? Good?
Yeah, going good, mate. Looking forward to Sunday's game.
Awesome. Awesome. We've got Joel from League of Inches. Bring on Moanly, a new team in the NRL.
Yeah, good old Moanly. We all love him. So
yeah,
bring him on,
well,
so.
That's it. We've got Maddie, sponsored by IKEA tonight. How are we going, Maddie?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good. I've got myself, Troy, from the Para Cave podcast. Here we go again. It's Manly and Para. Adam, is it the 80s? Oh, look, I hope it is, because that's back to the Parramatta glory years. How are we going, Adam? It's Manly and Para. Here we go again.
I'm good. You just cracked your first funny ever on the podcast. Can we get a Microsoft Teams safe clap for Troy, everybody? Here we go. Cracking funnies. Look, before we start the podcast, obviously a huge show on Sunday night. Lots of comments, lots of interactions. They keep that coming in. I just want to make a quick little – I've noticed something. Hayden, what's going on at your house? Have you got Ashley Klein behind you?
Well, it's not my house. It's Nan's Clowns, and I am going to give the opportunity to say that this podcast will now have a blurred background with me, so it's full focus on me, less focus on Ashley Klein and the referees behind us.
Oh, I can still see the clown, that's all. I didn't mean in the background. Yeah.
Let's get on with
the rugby league.
I've got one more question for Hayden, because it's the fans. The fans want to know. Hayden, can you see us all right tonight? There's nothing blocking your vision at all. Like, I was actually going to ask you to do this podcast a few back and put the clowns in front of you. Has everyone got their seat all right? You good?
Yeah, we did start on time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it took me a minute there. Yeah, no, yes. Obviously, a bit disappointing there. I'll just address it quickly. Obviously, we all went to Penrith for that game, the Panthers and the Eels, 2 years ago. And, you know, there was massive lines for hot chocolate. So I missed 20 minutes to start that game. And, you know, I said they've got to get things under control. And here we are 2 years later and they can't even have people in their frigging seats for the first 10 minutes. Mate, I had no idea.
Do you blame the stadium or the fans for that?
I had no idea that Bailey Simonson was knocked out. I couldn't see a frigging thing. I couldn't see the screen. Could not see
it. He didn't either.
First 5 minutes.
I was about to say he didn't know either.
But yeah, they need to look into that. They need to look into the fan control.
I'm pretty,
well, they're knocking down
I'm
the stadium
sure they are,
anyway.
They're giving, yeah.
They're yeah, knocking it down and
upgrading
another one.
Whatever then. Yeah, so Hayden, I think it's definitely being looked at. Anything else you want to get off your chest? You feeling okay?
I'm good, mate.
Yep. Did you exchange any friendship bracelets with anything with any Panther fans or anything? Or is no?
No friendship bracelets. Only at home games, mate.
Okay, it's
all right. So, listeners and viewers, if you've got any bracelets that you want to change with Hayden, bring them on Sunday.
Yeah, I want to give you and Matt a chance here, because we've obviously vented on Sunday. I was over it until I went to Lucas's daycare day. One of his daycare teachers told me how Parramatta got beat, and I was back. I was angry again. So you've had to say, Hayden said you're fine, Matt. Are you feeling okay? You're over it? You're looking for Sunday? Like,
yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm actually packing my house. I actually live in Penrith, so I'm packing my house and getting out of this area after Friday. So
bit of a hard time.
Taking
on Friday.
That, wow.
Can't wait to just, yeah.
Well, if you need a trip out, if you need a trip out of town, I know a guy, Lua, he'll help you with that trip.
Sounds good.
Some people
do I,
go
do I get his number? Do I get his number plates as well? Because, mate, if I see that car in Penrith, drive past me one more time, I'm gonna.
He's a bit of a high priced removalist.
Oh yeah,
Matt. Some people go and see, you know, a therapist. Some people go to a smash room and hit whatever they want. But Matt's method of calming down after the game is moving out of the town and moving away from.
I'm actually moving closer to West Tigers, so that's going to be. I just hope
Jerome. Oh, so you're not moving close at all. Not Leichhardt.
No.
Oh, you're going to be closer Campbelltown. To Jerome Luai next year. I bet you.
I was going to say, I bet he rents a house where I'm going to be moving to. So,
all right. All good. Let's get on with the podcast. Start with Kai Rodwell news. Obviously, Troy, you're very disappointed. Kai Rodwell never
myself
got to make
or
his
Hayden?
Debut, but...
No, Hayden's disappointed, I think.
Hayden's disappointed?
Yeah, I think Hayden's disappointed.
Am I, though? I think
yeah, because he didn't make his debut or something. Did he or not? I'm confused.
His eighth debut, just saying. I think he's up to his eighth debut, guys.
I thought that was a 2022 joke, but, I mean, sure.
Okay, so what's happening with Kai? I'm trying to get it out and just keep talking. So Kai Rodwell's been released. This after Mama Sia was it got released last week. So two player releases obviously opens up a few spaces in that obviously first of all some salary cap space. Secondly, obviously some more roster spaces. We don't know what's happening. Obviously, we know there's the rumors of Zach Lomax. We're hoping they're the ones that are gonna come true. But look, I think what it means is our club's finally worked out. We've got an excess of forwards and we need to find some kind of back depth. It's round two and our back depth has already been, I guess, exposed in a way is the word you're after, our lack of depth. Our New South Wales Cup started the 0-2. I know there's a lot of young kids in there that obviously, are getting that experience of playing with men, and we'll get to that a bit later. But, I just don't know. So I want to ask you the question, Joel. You obviously follow the league quite closely. If it's not Zach Lomax and your Parramatta, who are you trying to get to fill that space?
Taylan May. Wouldn't be this year, but it'd be next year. 100%.
Would it be this year? Because he seems to be throwing some stuff around at the club at the moment. A few little Instagram posts and stuff like that. So
doesn't he want to play with his brothers?
I think he's trying to do it again.
No, so his dad, I used to work with Taylan, Tiny they call him. His dad is the biggest Para fan you will meet. So he was trying to get Tiny to Para, the last contract negotiation, but obviously, and there was a few other clubs that wanted him, but obviously Ivan Cleary said, why would you go to a club that hasn't done anything and we're literally winning every why wouldn't you take a little bit less to stay loyal and stay here and win premierships than go somewhere else on big bucks? So I knew there was talks of him coming to Para about 2 years ago now when he made his debut and he was up for grabs. And his dad, I might have to text his dad and see what's going on because, I put it out there that because we were actually after Tyrone as well to come back.
It's going to be a stiff competition with the Roosters, but because they're losing a couple of centres.
There's one other name. I want to throw this name in there because he comes off contract at the end of this year. He's still fairly young. I think he has a bit to offer still throughout the game. And I wonder if we should make a play for him with some of the players that the Raiders.
Is this thing on? Are you going to say the Roosters New South Wales Cup Centre?
No, I'm going to say Nick Cotridge from the Canberra Raiders. I think we've I know it's not that kind of X factor signing, but it's typical Parramatta. You know, it's not washed
up. He had his chance before.
It just seems to be the type of player we normally make that space, and then it's someone like. Morgan Harper, but he seems to be going good at the start of the year. But, yeah, I think Nick Cotric is a chance of joining Parramatta this or next season. Joel, not that I want it to happen, but...
Joel, any other names you can think of?
Anyone but that name would be ideal. Honestly, that is that far backwards, it's not funny.
surely Morgan Harper's got a brother or something, like as opposed to Nick Cotric, surely. Nick Cotridge had his chance when he obviously left Canberra to go to the Dogs, and that did not work out great for him. He's back at Canberra playing okay football, but obviously not hitting the heights. The strange one is, look, we obviously know we've got Lomax, and St. George have got that much depth in their backs. If you look at their New South Wales Cup team, that you know, I wish we had the depth they had. I know they're not superstars, but fuck, at least they've got some exciting prospects there that we just don't seem to bring.
How strict do you reckon Flano's going to be on his word, but saying that Lomax isn't going anywhere this year?
Nah, they all say it, but
yeah,
they all say it. Every coach will say, "I'm not."
Yeah,
look at Moses.
Clearly, say Moses released, wasn't coming to Parramatta.
Moses yep. till the end of the year, and then 2 games later, he's at Parra.
I guess watch his space. I guess.
I think he'll probably give it to about that May period. He'll probably be heading into that kind of Origin period where that decision will be made.
I think we'll get him earlier.
I think as soon as they,
I reckon 2 weeks.
They make their signing.
Yeah, I reckon 2 weeks. As soon as that rugby union player.
All right, let's move on to this week's game then. I'll go through the team first of all. Obviously, some forced changes, and it's good to see Brad Arthur playing some mind games. I absolutely love it. He seems to bring his mind games out once a year, and it seems to be when we play Manly, obviously, where he coached before. So I'll go through the team first of all. Gutherson at fullback, Russell and Harper on the wings, Penasini and Blaze Tulagi in the centres, Brown and Moses, Locke is Hopgood, second row Lane Cartwright, front row of Paulo, named in the front row again, Lussick, Campbell Gillard, bench of Moretti, Madison, Offen, Gowie, Tulagi, 18th man is Jake Hartley's joke, and 18th man is Ogden.
Actually, he is 18th man, Jake Arthur.
Yeah, I knew he would be. 19th man's Greg. Then we've got Hands in 20, McAtoa 21, and RC at 22. Well, obviously, the huge news, first of all, I kind of popped it out there on Sunday night, and I think I was told he wasn't ready, but a few people in the comments said he was ready. And that's Blaze Tulagi, obviously, in the centres. Will he line up in the centres? I know it's obviously his preferred position. I know he's been playing fullback in New South Wales Cup, played centres last year in Jersey Flegg, didn't he?
Most yeah, of he's mainly a centre in 5'8".
Okay, lovely, which obviously can transfer to fullback pretty quickly. Look, it's an interesting one with Harper. Obviously, Harper got hung out to dry a bit on the wing on the weekend. But I can't really judge him on that, given the fact that, you know, what we saw from Kelmer, and it wasn't ideal. So if we move on from that, I don't know if we're going to line up like that, but we'll just go to the bench of seeing Kelmer Tulagi named on the bench. And they've got a very close name to each other. Does anyone know the pronunciation of their last names? Because one's spelt T-A-L-I-G-I, the other one's spelt T-U-L-A-G-I. And I can't get either of them right.
I think they both sound the same. Tuolagi,
same, but different.
Tau.
One's Tuolungi, one's Tuolungi.
Oh, there you go.
I'm never going to get that right, am I? Lucky they look absolutely nothing alike.
So but what's your thoughts on Kelmer, but I thought he dislocated his shoulder. He'd be gone for 4 to 6 weeks. What's going on there?
Yeah, he
might have popped right back in.
This is all mind games. This is
and
like
that. And it's against his old team.
This is like that Josh Adokar, 21st man, stupid reserves last week against the Sharks. So people went, oh, my God, Josh Adokar, miraculous recovery. Someone like Woodamu Greg is, or Offahegi Ogden, one of those two, is definitely going to come into that spot on the bench. There's no way Kelmer playing. Troy, I'm not sure if you saw him, but we saw him after that Penrith game in a sling wrist telling fans, yeah, I'm a few weeks away. So there's no way.
Yeah, I think it's mind games. And I think it's a bit of the fact, obviously, of being an ex-Manly player as well. I don't think Manly are that stupid if they go back and watch the game. But if we really wanted to play mind games, we name him in the centres and Manly is sitting there licking his lips. I think we've kind of done that with Harper. Like, no disrespect to Harper, but I'm not saying he deserves to be dropped up last week. I said he was hung out to dry a bit, but he was never going to get dropped against Manly. We know Brad's never done that. We know he's bought plays in. He bought Bailey in against Canberra a couple of years back, whatever it was. He knows how to get the best out of players against their former team. I think Harper may move to the centres and Blaze may go to the wing. But like I said, it's a bit of an interesting one no matter what.
I'm just going to jump in here. Is that an advantage for Parramatta, Harper playing against Manly, or is that an advantage for Manly knowing his strengths and weaknesses?
No, obviously it's an advantage for Parra because BA knows exactly what they're going to do. Like, he knows they're going to attack Harper because they know his weaknesses. But obviously, I feel in defense, I feel like he'll go center, and in attack, he'll go wing. That's my suspicions.
I guess the other, if
Blaze even plays, like, Arcee could just come in. Like, it just depends.
I don't think that won't happen.
I think
he hasn't done that obvious. That's one thing he hasn't done. Yeah. He hasn't named players and then not debuted him.
Yeah.
So I want to look across at the Manly team, and this is where I'm not really that worried. The side of Blaze and Harper were marking up against Garrick and Paulo. Now, I know Garrick can be a good player. I think he's more of a fullback, obviously not really used to the centres. This could come back to bite me, but I don't think – I watched a lot of their game on the weekend, and their centres and wings didn't really get a lot of ball on that side. They went to their left-hand side a lot, which was Tommy Toia, but now they've brought in someone else whose name I'm not even going to fucking attempt to say. I want his full name if you're going to be smart. Go on.
Raymond Tuamalo-Vega. Vega.
There we go. There you go. Nailed it. Look at you. She's better than me. Which one of us does commentary of rugby league? Oops. So, look, I'm not that worried, obviously, on that edge based on that. And I guess the worrying sign is obviously Okolatu. Okolatu or whatever the fuck his name is.
Olakowatu.
Absolute.
Hamoli.
Olakowatu. Yeah. But give it, yeah, I can't even say his first name properly, let alone his last name. Yeah, thanks. We got that. But the thing is, given the fact he's marked up on Dylan Brown, I'm just going to stop talking in a second. I can't even get any words out of that. Given the fact he's marked up on Dylan Brown, who's arguably one of the strongest defenders, Harper's offenders in the game. So I'm not that worried about the edge, what they do. So I do. So it's probably not a bad game to debut in. We'll get to obviously where we win the game later. I'll go to you, Joel. You're first on team and obviously the debut there.
Yeah, I think Morgan Harper will go to the centres. Blaze will go to wing. No doubt about that one because, sorry to say, but Morgan Harper isn't a winger. and pretty much, yeah, just Greg will come in. There's no way in the world that Kelm was playing after what he looked like on Friday night. That even if he was sort of touch and go, I wouldn't even be pushing him to play. I know it's against his old club, but the forward depth we have at the moment, we don't need to be pushing, especially our forwards, to be playing. So if he's not 100%, don't make him play. It's all good. Sit out a week, fuel his fire for next time we play Manly. But apart from that, I know you're saying not too worried about Manly, but goodness me, I am, because they are playing some fantastic football. So I know the edges on paper, their names don't look pretty, but they're doing something. They're doing things on that footy field that not many Manly teams have done for a while now. And the thing is, Turbo hasn't fired yet. He's just continually warming up to his trade. And all it takes is a game against Para. We know Para players step up for it. I've got no doubt Manly players step up as well. So it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be ripping and a tearing, as some would say.
You've been waiting to get that one in all year, haven't you? I want to raise an interesting one with you, Troy. So obviously we've seen Brendan Hands be dropped off the bench. He hasn't really been utilised in the last 2 weeks, we'll say, or not utilised at all last week.
Three minutes.
But here's the question I want to ask. You look at through the New South Wales Cup team. Brendan Hands has been dropped from 14 at an NRL level. In the New South Wales Cup team, he's playing 5'8". And you have Matt Arthur starting at hooker now. So what's your thoughts on that one, Troy? Like, what's our long-term plan with Brendan Hands? He looked like there's a chance he was going to be our starting hooker. Now he's finding himself at 5'8", New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drop from glory, I think. Look, we all heard Brad Arthur say at the start of the year he wanted an 80-minute hooker. Looks like he's going down that path at the moment, and even last week with Brendan only playing three minutes. But for him, I think probably he wouldn't go back to hooker, I don't think, because you got Matt Arthur there, so that's Matt's position, and that's the one you want him to develop in, and again in the New South Wales Cup. So I think that maybe strength with Brennan Hands going back to 5'8" probably strengthens that New South Wales Cup side a little bit, playing 5'8". But look, you were asking Joel about the Manly side. I think, yeah, they've been playing some good football at the moment. And we talked about Morgan Harper playing against his old club. Nathan Brown playing against Parramatta at Parramatta. I think he'll have a point to prove.
Sinbin.
Yeah, look,
he's paying $1.04 to do something fucking stupid, let's be honest.
I don't know if he will though because he's supposedly matured since those days, and
he's been playing pretty good. Give him credit this year; he's actually been coming on doing a really good role. So I can't do that. There was one final thing I wanted to mention. He did say about the bench side of things. Luca Marie's there, and that's great to see. I love what he brings to the team, but the thing I can only see happening is Brad Arthur putting him on for 5-minute stints. So I feel like it's pretty pointless. I just want Brad Arthur to go all out, put that attacking spark on the bench in Dejan Arce, and just see what happens. Whether he plays a 5-minute role or if something happens like happened last weekend, at least we've got someone there who has a bit of X factor coming off the bench against tight opposition and can actually spark something for us when we do need it. That bench is boring as all batshit, to be honest.
Especially with Mitch's
groin. He's there as cover, though. Like, he's literally there to cover our second rowers. It's as simple as that.
But we've already got that on the bench. We don't need that. We've got Kelmer if he does play, and we've got Maddo who can do the same thing.
Well, that's what I mean.
They've already got cover for the second row. Yeah.
I agree. I'd have if he's not going to have hands, I'd have Arce there to cover the backs. And at least if he doesn't get the minutes, he doesn't get the minutes. But I guess one of the hard ones this week is the New South Wales Cup team playing the week before. You can't obviously send the players back for minutes later on. It's interesting. I want to touch on one more before we move on to the actual game. I'm looking through the New South Wales Cup team list this week. And there's a player here named in the centres for Parramatta, and there's been no announcement by the club. I don't know when he signed. Jake Tago. Everyone know who that is? Matt, you, Hayden?
Yes. Zach Tago's brother. Zach's
brother, yeah.
So we've got Sonny Luke's brother playing in reserve grade as well. And now we've got Tago's brother as well. Like, literally, we're just signing everyone's
brothers.
I know
brothers. Isaac has just re-signed, but are they going to slowly make their way to Parramatta from Penrith?
No, it's just because he knows he won't get a shot with his brother there.
But there's been, like I said, no announcement in the club, and he hasn't played the last 3 weeks. So obviously that's a pretty decent little – I don't know much about him. Is he younger, old age younger, isn't he?
Younger.
There you go. So not a bad little depth sign there if he obviously can develop into being three-quarters as good as his brother, especially running against second rowers. I'll say one more thing on the team list.
Bless you. Bless you, Hayden.
No, it's gone now.
I thought he was fainting again.
Can I just add as well, just on the team list, number 8, Regan Campbell-Gillard, big congratulations to him. He's playing his 200th NRL game against the Seagulls this weekend.
Seems like he's been around forever, eh? Would have thought he would have played more games than 200, but
I think mainly he didn't sit out two seasons at Penrith because he was wanting to leave, maybe.
Or suspended. Yeah, he had some suspensions early on as well, so. Paul Kumi still got the $100
for BA's fine. Okay, well that's what.
Let's work. We've got a different week referee this weekend. So that's always a positive. All right, let's get on to this week's game. As I said, obviously going to be a massive game. Feels like we're back in the '80s. I guess the only thing that could have made this game better was Parramatta being 2-2, not 1-2, and going into it both undefeated. But Sunday 4:00, wonderful time for rugby league. It should be. You think a sold-out Combank. I've been looking at tickets and they're starting to fill up pretty quickly. So get your tickets quick while you can. I know I said that Sunday night, but I guess probably hopefully by Friday or Saturday it'll be a sellout. Manly fans, you've only got to go across one, I think two, potentially three bridges. You can probably walk one. I know you guys don't like to travel over bridges, so any Manly fans listening, it's only three bridges. Make the trip or, look, alternatively, Sunday afternoon – going to be a nice day. Jump on the ferry from Manly to Circular Quay. on the River Cat up Parramatta River. There you go. You don't have to go across any bridges. I know you've got that fear of bridges.
Look, I wonder if the Hello Sport podcast guys, I wonder if they'll be at Combank on Sunday. Yeah, big Manly fans.
Sure they will.
Yeah?
Who cares?
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, League of Inches will be there, mate.
They have nothing to do with this podcast. Who cares?
Well, Adam's talking about Manly fans travelling.
Can we make that huge announcement now, Joel? Like, you want anything to tell us about the weekend? What? Anything?
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there with my bells on. So be there, ready to go. I'll get there early hours. I'll probably camp there the night before and just get to the Leagues Club, bang on it, and have a few drinky poops, be on my best behaviour.
Aren't you doing a midnight podcast outside broadcast, midnight at Combank?
Midnight.
He said he's camping out there.
I'll see how it
I've heard that Joel, it's only a rumour, it's not confirmed, but you know where you've got all the kids' entertainment set up and stuff? I've heard that Joel will be there from about 2:30 with League of Inches hats, signing autographs for kids, taking photos with babies, kissing babies.
He's more famous than me,
shaking hands with politicians. He's going off this year. So, look, if you want to get the chance to meet Joel, turn up there. Hayden might be there as well. Just don't stand in Hayden's way, okay? Because if you stand in Hayden's way, you're sure to cop some abuse. Find your fucking seat. So, no hills this week, Hayden.
Yeah.
But, no, look, we all will be there. Keep an eye on the page. We're going to be doing something. We don't know what yet.
Andrew Backhouse, big fan of Joel.
Yeah. 100%.
On you, Andrew. Yep.
He'll sign it.
Appreciate it.
Are you going to be at there? Are you going to be at the game, Andrew? Can you let me comment on that? Because we could organise our little run it straight challenge before the game.
Can't believe he only knows this podcast and Joel's podcast. Doesn't know the Parakeet podcast. That's disappointing.
Yeah, he's lying. Podcast.
I seen him on one on the weekend, so he's lying about that.
He's lying on one. All right, back to the game. We got distracted, but as I said, we'll be there. We'll be looking to do something. He does not bite, Hayden. No, if not, he would be in Silverwater prison. Anyway, we'll be somewhere there before the game. Sorry, that was bad. It's not 8:30 yet. We'll hopefully be doing some kind of live before the game, because if we haven't been taken down by Facebook for that comment, keep an eye on it. Matt will get posting something.
Us four might be. Something. You might not be.
I might not be, no. But if it does happen, shoddy not the first shout. But get your hands up, boys. It's the last one that has to get the shout.
Adam.
It was definitely all those in favour. It was Troy. Put your hands up.
Hey, of course it was.
It was Troy.
Might not get there till kickoff.
Classic Troy. Anyway, like I said, we've gone through the team list. Obviously, Manly, we've kind of touched on that one a little bit. Obviously, firing there with Trbojevic back and a combination, new halves combination of Cherry Evans and Brooks. I know Mo's to be up the term on Brooks, so I'll go to you first. Hayden, where do we win this game this weekend?
I think we've got to win it in the forwards, and I think not necessarily the front row. I actually think the back rowers need to do a job here, Sean Lane and Bryce Cartwright. We've seen some pretty good early form from them overall, but I think the big thing for Manly, which Joel mentioned that's been a bit scary, is, you know, the first 2 weeks, they've looked like a very good team, and I think when I'm thinking of Manly, their combinations of Trbojevic, Brooks, Cherry Evans, Cooler starting to work well. But I think if our back rowers and even our lock in Jermaine can apply pressure to them and stop them from getting those line breaks and working together, I think it's one there in the back row.
Yep, wonderful. Matt, your thoughts where we win this?
Yeah, I'm going to go Will Penasini's side. I think that edge, I reckon we'll go kind of like the Titans match, the trial. We might do a few trick shots down that side, and yeah, I'm going to say most of our attack will go straight down there.
Joel, your thoughts?
My biggest weakness for Manly at the moment is their middle forwards. I think we should be able to steamroll their middles. So it's long as they take the angry pills before the game, we should be able to just carve that middle up and then hopefully get some things going with the likes of Dill Brown, Gutho, the like, doing some things out the back.
Angry pills, you want to call anyone out and fire them up a little bit, anyone that's disappointed you?
No, you know what? He doesn't need any firing up. But if I feel like at the moment, Reggie Boy is the heartbeat of our forward pack. When he's on and looking very mean and tough, we seem to get to that extra level. So as long as Reggie Boy turns up, which I'm sure he will be in his 200th, I think the big boys will get on the back of him and they'll just steamroll this Manly side.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, I think they came out and said last week that they want to play Penrith through the middle. I don't think that'll change this week. I think, as Joel said, playing through the middle, and then just the forwards just got to get that roll on, and then gives the backs plenty of space. Dylan Brown will come out, and he's been playing pretty good football the last couple of weeks, so I think that'll continue and give him space. I don't think Moses is still 100% yet, so he may be a little bit quiet. We might not see a lot of running from him or kicking, but he'll be there organising. Forwards go forward, backs have plenty of space.
Yeah, wonderful. Keep your comments coming in, guys. We'll get to them at the end. I'm going to say something a bit different, and you don't want to call out a player unless it works and they hear it, but there's one player I think us winning this game relies on, and it's not Mitchell Moses, which it usually could be. It's Clint Gutherson. Gutho, as we know, is obviously awesome for us, and every time he plays Manly, he goes to another level. There's no doubt about that. He always wants to, I guess, sometimes overdo it, which is my concern, and we don't need him to overdo it this year in attack. The most positive thing with our backline moves, even though our backline moves haven't clicked yet, is we'll get to that in another podcast we're playing, though, is because I'm more down for that. Even though our backline hasn't entirely clicked yet because of obviously Moses' injury, what I've liked is how they've used Gutho this year away from that final touch. But what I want to see him do in this game, and where it's so important, is every time we've played Manly lately in the last probably 3-4 years, every time they've either beaten us or gone close to beating us, they've picked our edges apart. They've made our outside centres and wings make some terrible defensive choices, and sometimes it's looked like they're playing rugby union and we're playing rugby league because it looks like they've got an extra man on either side. What we need from Gutho is not to exert himself too much in attack, but defensively find himself set to cover that. Now, for as long as I can remember now, I guess under the Brad Arthur era, Parramatta's obviously backed that in and up, style of defence, and I'm hoping everyone knows what that means. But what that means is you're usually going to get the overlap with your winger, which means you either need your third man in, usually your half to cover it, or your fullback to get there. I've been very critical over Gutho for years now of not getting there and finding himself in a bad position and not reading the play. It's his biggest challenge this year as well, given the way that, I guess, Brooks is playing as well, because they're dangerous on both sides. But I guess what I touched on earlier is they love that short ball to whatever the fuck his name is, the big second rower, Okolatu Akawaka. Come on,
Hamali Olakolatu, ex-para.
That one, just saying.
Para Junior.
Yeah.
Para Junior hates. Still comes to para games, but hates us with a passion when he plays us.
Yeah, fair. What I'm saying is about that guy. They love that short ball to him so much. I guess if Gutho gets caught in the middle of the field wondering which way they're going to go, he probably doesn't need to spread to that side as much, which can help him cover the other side where they could pick us apart. That's all I'm saying. That's my thoughts on the game there. So let's get into our next one. Love our bold predictions. I haven't given this much thought at all, but I'm going to go first because I'm all for a fairy tale and a player scoring against their old club first. So I'm going to say Kelmer. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to say Kelmer. I'm not going to say Harper either. I'm actually going to go on debut, Blaze Tulagi to score his first try as the first try scorer. Sorry, Joel. Eat shit. So I go first.
So that's two predictions in one.
What?
That's
your bold. No, I don't do that. Well,
you said the bold prediction will be, and then you said he's the first try scorer.
Yeah, it's bold. It's just a bold first try scorer. My scoreline is Parramatta 23-16. Now, I've got a really strange one for that 23-16. I've got Joey Lussick to kick the field goal as my bold prediction. Okay. Don't know how. I can do it out there. I'm just going to go in order. So we're going to go like this, like a little snake. They like to call that a Jamie Lyon. So, Troy, you're next.
Okay, so bold prediction. I think we'll get a bigger crowd than round one, considering it was considering it's Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Haven't seen the weather report for Sunday, but I think with Manly winning two games in a row, the 80s rivalry, I think this will be a bigger crowd than round one. So bigger than 29,171. So there you go. First try scorer. Look, I think I like my centres, but I'm going to go Morgan Harper as first try scorer. I know he's been named on the wing, but we kept on saying he'll play in the centre, so I'll go him for first try scorer. And I will say a scoreline of 30 points to 16.
Matt, keep that snake moving.
Yep, so I'm going to go first try scorer. I'm going to go, I think, Guffo, obviously against Manly. I think he scores majority of the first tries against Manly the last couple of years. I'll go Guffo first try scorer. I'll go Para 28-12. Keep my 12 scoreline throughout the year. And I will go bold prediction. I'm going to go both second rowers will score tries for Para.
You just get wet over Cardi, don't you?
I was literally going to say, like, Cardi first try scorer, Cardi doesn't score a hat trick. Like,
we need some more Dally M points. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Joel, what do you got?
Cardi's my first try scorer. Parramatta 23-22. I think we'll get done with a Mitchell Moses field goal. And my bold prediction is our wingers will score all of our tries.
Our wingers or our wingers? Because I'm going to hold you to a technicality there. Is it going to be the people named in jersey 2 and 5 or the people that play on the wing?
Yeah.
The people that play on the wing. So Talangi and Russell will be our.
Do we give him that? Hang on.
Well, no, if he wants to go with that. If he wants to go with that and Morgan plays at wing.
No, yeah. So we'll go at that one. But yeah, like.
Get half points.
We'll give him a half point if they run out on the field and Talangi starts playing
center.
So
I'm going to be nice because I make the rules, as we know.
And you change them.
That's what often reminds
me. And you change them.
I'll give you whoever actually plays on the wing for that game. Okay. So, I mean, even if they change halfway throughout the game, if the try is physically scored by the person on the wing, if Ryan Madison's having a bludge on the wing, they pass the ball to him, I'll give it to you. Just for you, Joel. Yes, just because you're making a long trek down to the game. All right, Cleon, what we got?
Well, Adam's kind of stuffed up what I was going to do to Joel there. And obviously, if this isn't a bold prediction, let me know. But I think it is, especially considering how much we've spoken about the changes. So my bold prediction is that Brad Arthur will actually keep the starting 13 the same this week. I think Junior Paulo will start rather than going to the bench.
Hang on.
Hang on.
Yeah. That is not a bold prediction.
Okay, neither is Troy's of the crowd being above the bloody attendance. If you want to throw your 3
that is bold. That's huge. A ground record.
That's a ground record.
Okay, and you've seen Junior Paulo get told that he's going to be starting off the bench all year, and we've spoken about centres and wingers changing. Anyway, I'll change it. That's fine. I'll go first try scorer, Sean Russell. Bold prediction, I reckon both Seans will score, Sean Russell and Sean Lane, to get a try at any time in the match. Parramatta win by 10, I'll go 24 points to 14.
Are you Sean about that one?
I'm Sean.
I've got a bold prediction as well, Hayden. You wouldn't know if it was a starting 13 anyway, because I'm going to make sure on the weekend that someone stands up in front of you the whole game. I don't know who it will be, but I'm going to find where you sit and pay the person in front of $100 to stand up.
Mate, I reckon.
You got any questions?
This lineup is going to be the
just a quick one. I'm just throwing it out there, guys. That. Can we put the bold predictions and scores in the group chat? Because I don't have pen and paper. It's all packed away.
I forget what I've done.
You can just watch the video back. I can't remember.
Oh, I'll just watch the video back. Yeah. There you go.
Do you get extra points Hayden, if you put it in the group chat?
I agree with what Hayden's saying, though. Actually, I would keep Junior starting this game. Purely off the fact that I don't think their middles are strong at all. We don't need him to come off the bench and keep going with that. I think Joe should be able to do that job this week. And it'd be nice to see Joe try that role as well, because no doubt when Greg's back as well, he'll go probably back to the bench. So make him work off the bench for this game when Manly have a weaker middle bench than a lot of the clubs out there. So I would stick with the middle forwards in Reg and Junior and smash the absolute shit out of them for 25 minutes straight.
I still think we've got a really good chance to... when Nathan Brown comes off the bench, if we put our starting, you know, one of our starting usual best front rowers there to get under his skin, I think that could make a massive difference.
Maddo can do that.
Can he? Seems too nice these days. We want old aggressive swinging arm Maddo back for sure. Shoulder the head, Maddo.
No, we don't want to get into their games. Moretti, that's the thing. No.
Moretti will go get on and be like, bloody, he's a psycho.
Is that your bold prediction? We're ready to get on.
No, he's changing.
No.
He...
no.
That's bold.
For longer than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's bold enough. All right. Let's get to some of these questions. There's a few questions there. Go through them, Joel. You're always in charge. Just see what
I didn't think there was.
There was more few.
Sort of comments.
There's a couple. I can't scroll up.
Wouldn't Richard Penasini be a centre for next year? 100%. Just depends on how he comes back, because I've seen a lot of players it takes them an extra year to come back fully fit and ready to go. So he might have to spend an extra year in New South Wales Cup this year to get some confidence, I think. Oh, next year, sorry.
Yeah.
Oates, someone's mentioning Corey Oates as a possible signing. I would not say yes to this one.
I feel like our retirement days are over. We went through that phase of our life. We don't want to turn into a team that signed retirement villages. Look, there's not much else.
New info on Lomax? Nah.
Yeah, I was actually walking down the street the other day.
Well, the writing's on the wall. With
what is this?
Didn't he re-sign last year?
Well, he was from Para. He was from Para originally, but where would you play him?
Didn't he re-sign just recently for like $800,000 a year?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but what's
the contract? He should have taken that Tigers contract, that's for sure.
The million.
All right, look, that's all we've got time for then. There's not enough questions. Matt doesn't have a cool caption. Matt doesn't even have a pen and paper. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm sitting in an empty house at the moment, so next week
that is Matt's bedroom.
There's one more legit pretty question. Oh, hang on, no, not that one. Anyone?
Well,
got something?
We kind of touched on it before.
Are you sitting in a Bulldogs house since they're all putting their house on the Bulldogs? So have you acquired one of their houses?
No.
Game hasn't been played
yet. There's the ADD kicking in again. Can we go back to that question, Joel?
Why have we let... Yeah, there we go.
We kind of touched on this before. What we're letting go of is excess forwards, excess front rowers, excess second rowers. We're obviously pretty stacked in the front row. We need some back depth. We've obviously just realised, as we're on the podcast, we've signed one potential. Obviously, we're debuting Blaze on the weekend, but we desperately need some kind of back. We've got, like, was it last year early on that we got called out? Was it 2022 we got called out with all those? So I think it was 2022. Obviously, made a grand final.
It was 2022,
So early. Remember we just kept losing wingers and centres and it just went terribly. It's happening again.
Sean Russell went early.
Russell went early, then Hayes went. Hayes went in the trial, then Russell went. It was terrible.
I called it all off-season. Our backline depth is atrocious this year and this has already hit us on the backside.
This is why Joe will be signing autographs before the game, guys. Anyway, watch your space. That's all we've got time for. We'll put something up. We'll be having a beer. If you want to come talk para with the Talking Para boys, we'll be somewhere in the league club before the game. Everyone is welcome except for Andrew, because Andrew, if I see you, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. Just joking. I'm not going to do that. Good night.
See you guys. Go para.
See you guys.